Hello and welcome to another episode of Father and Joe. I'm Joe Rocky, here with Father Boniface Hicks. And Father, in an example you gave in our last episode, you brought up some of the things that Jesus does in the Gospels that at times he's teaching, and obviously a parable is an example, a way of teaching. And there's some descriptions that we have in there that go, well, is that really what happened? Or it's described in a way that made sense to the people who were writing it, but reading it now, maybe it would say something different in our modern context. And I bring this up because there's a number of different times that reading portions of the gospel, it shows kind of some depths or strains that Jesus is going through, but can easily be just glossed over. And one of the ones that came apart me was the stress that he was undergoing through this. And, you know, there are a number of times when it says he left his disciples early in the morning, and went out and fasted in prayer. I guess the most notable example of that is Holy Thursday. That was at night, but the core concept being he seems as though, if you look at it, was stressed a lot and probably didn't have the great sleeping pattern on a pillow or, you know, a pillow top bed that many of us get to enjoy in a nice, quiet, stable, warm room. And the stress that he has from the established community of essentially always trying to say, got you, you're doing it wrong, we want to punish you, seems immense and real. And it's almost every chapter in Mark, there's a reference to it in the Gospel of Mark. And it just seems that you can gloss over in so many different ways, but it's so common. And to think about how in our times, when we're stressed out, people tend to go all or nothing with their faith. They either go all in, embracing Jesus and God, or they go, I can do this myself, I don't need any help. And it, for some reason, there doesn't seem to be a middle ground, but it just seems to be like, well, God's all powerful. He wouldn't be able to relate to me. He wouldn't understand what stress is like. And I just, again, going through what your teachings of read the gospel and relating to it, praying like a pirate, as you taught us in that great episode, that is the thought process that I'm having here. And one of the observations that I had that I wanted to share, because stress is unfortunately a present part of most of our lives. And it's not said Jesus was stressed out. You know, it never explicitly says that, but they show a lot of symptoms that say that to go along with it. And maybe I'm connecting dots and my reflections are wrong, but that seemed to be like, that's what it's describing. It just saying it in a different way than I would. And I wanted to talk about that, A, to see if you need to screw my head on back, right, if I'm completely off. But if I am on, because I think it would be a good conversation to have.
Yeah, and maybe I can just insert in at this point, too, in our conversation. I'm recording this from Rome, and I don't know, there's probably a little bit of a difference, probably to the negative, but it's a joy to be in this place, in the eternal city, and makes me think of St. Peter and St. Paul, both of whom were martyred in Rome, and the kinds of stresses they went through. I mean, establishing the early church in a time of pretty significant persecution, Christians being martyred on a regular basis. I mean, killed in some pretty horrific ways. I just visited the tomb of St. Cecilia today, who was beheaded, and she was a young and killed in that terrible way. A number of the popes are also buried there in the catacombs of St. Callistus, also martyred. You can see on the epitaph for their tombs that they... And so a lot of stress, you know, there are stressful things, that is to say, there are things objectively stressful when your life is in danger and you can be beheaded at any time. That's a fairly stressful thing. And our stresses in the modern day are quite limited in comparison. We get more stressed about objectively less significant things. So the early apostles and martyrs are also examples to us of how to handle stress, or Christian faith also can at times mitigate stress. We don't want to over-spiritualize. We don't want to say something like, well, because I get stressed. Well, if you're stressed, then you do. And even when we look at the lives of the martyrs and the apostles, it's not because they were so tough or because they trained like, Navy SEALs or something like that, who had a lot of natural abilities and a lot of intense training. There was natural that sustained them. And that supernatural grace may sustain you and me, helps to work through the natural as much as possible. He doesn't like to subvert his own natural processes. He created the natural processes for a reason. And so he's not trying to get rid of them. And when we look at stress, stress is telling us something. It's telling us something about the way that we're living our life, maybe the intensity that engaging. And we could ask ourselves, is this right for me? Just because I can do it, should I do it? Question that we ought to always ask. But our stress is, I think, often gets avoided. The signs of stress get just, we're in denial about it. Pay attention to it. People are having GI issues and having all kinds of, they're just breaking out, or they're losing their hair, or their muscles are stressed out, tight, painful. Stress releases a hormone, cortisol. Cortisol causes, really builds up in your muscles and can linger quite a while, 26 hours in the bloodstream. So anyway, all those things are a sign. If we are stressed, there's probably something stressful, or at least that we perceive as stressful. And then our perception might be off. It might not actually be as big as it is. And then that kind of thing needs to be addressed and corrected as best as possible. We need to be convinced, perhaps, that things are not as stressful as they appear to be. And we need to find some ways to deal with it, that handing it over to the Lord, inviting him into relationship with whatever is stressful to us. As you mentioned, praying like a pirate, the first thing is to be aware. I'm stressed, aware that I'm carrying something, aware that I'm having some kind of difficulty. So the first thing is to be aware and then to relate it to him. And what you are providing, Joe, points of relationship. We don't relate it to him as someone who doesn't know what it's like. We relate it to him as someone who knows very well what it's like. In fact, he knows better than we do. He endured all the stress. We endure only our portion of the stress. So when we relate it to him, we're relating it to somebody who really understands, who is really sympathetic, who really cares about us and really wants to help us. So that process of relating to him, how does that go? Well, it's not just a matter of saying, Jesus, I give it to you. Jesus, I give it to you. Jesus, I give it to you. Is it gone? Is it done? Am I done with it? And there's often a deeper process of surrender that I have to really feel how incapable I am of carrying something. And in fact, even that God in some sense doesn't want to carry it, but he wants to help us to carry it. And so then we come to a place of real surrender. Jesus, I trust you. And I need your help. Please take my hand. Please lift my aching back. Please help me lift the load of whatever thing is that I'm carrying and that I'm stressed about. And those kinds of prayers, real heartfelt prayers, real movements of the heart, are ways that we can end up sharing those burdens with a very beautiful personal way.
And so much in that. And one of the observations I want to share, and you can push back on this if you feel it's wrong, but the way that I view stress is in a relationshipal format. And it's the way I view it is your present self not liking what you perceive your future self to be. And that essentially being the origin of stress, meaning that if you think that something's going to go bad in your future, an interaction with your boss, a whatever the case will be, that's what born stress. And you put out a very good point there that a big part of that mechanism, that process inside our brains is the perception of what will happen. And this might be because of the way that our world is. As you mentioned before, we don't have these types of groundbreaking significant problems. You know, there's not someone in charge that says, because I heard a message I didn't like hearing, I'm going to kill every kid who's younger than 3 years old. That's not a possibility in most of the world that's listening to this conversation. However, that was a reality then. So when we look at what we have in terms of could be stressful, we're turning a lot of things and the big scheme of things are not the end of the world. Now, yes, we do live in a world with consequences. You know, if you don't pay your electric bill, the lights do get turned off. You know, there are consequences in our world. I'm not trying to say that there's not and we should ignore them. However, we don't live also in a world that is nearly in that type of environment, human speaking. You know, so when we look at this, how do we reorient ourselves in terms of that perspective method? You gave a very good answer of how to actually surrender to God and answering my part two before I even asked it. But when we look at the perception method of how do we go about this and kind of get a reality check, an ability to go, but maybe it won't be as bad as I think it is. You know, he's going to get yelled at me. What's the worst case scenario? I get fired from this job and I go get a new one. I still have the same skill set. I still have this talent. I can just perceivably someone else that would want it. So what is really the worst case scenario here? So I would like to see if you can dive into that a little bit as we're pressing towards the end of this episode. And I think it's something that's so important, getting that perception right.
Yeah. We may be catastrophize, and we may do that over certain things instead of other things. And that's going to depend on a couple of factors. One is kind of our natural constitution. Some responsible. They are anxious about doing the right thing. It's going to depend on our own pattern of woundedness. When a father figure yelled at us, even hurt us in significant ways, then our fear of being hurt by a father figure is to persist at least, until there's maybe some healing there. It may persist less, some healing, but that could transfer over to a priest or a coach or an uncle or a big brother or some, but the approval or disapproval of certain key figures in our life just means a lot. And so that has a particularly high weight for us. What are the worst things that are going to happen? You could go to jail, I suppose. You could end up being it is interesting to push things into worst cases. Sometimes you can get too creative. I always think of one of these torture techniques. They buried somebody up to their neck and let them be eaten alive by ants. You know, it's like, oh gosh, I mean, how bad can it get? You can come up with some pretty horrific things, as it turns out, to torture and kill human beings, which is its own pretty sick thing. Real malevolence. But the stakes are usually quite a bit lower. I mean, at the extreme level, we lose a job, we lose a relationship. At the extreme level, you know, we lose our family, we lose our house, we lose our health, you know, those kinds of things, which are pretty significant. Those are a big deal, and we shouldn't underplay those. And at the same time, you know, while there's life, there's an opportunity for conversion and an opportunity for growth. And so that all, and we should take that into account. So what's the worst thing that'll happen is a good question to ask. And that's going to be different depending on different circumstances. And at the end of the day, it's usually just something that's material, that's passing. It's going to go away anyway. It's just a matter of timing. Is it going to go away sooner rather than later? Well, is that really that big a deal? I mean, maybe it feels like it at the moment. And I never want to downplay those feelings or dismiss them or shame them or something like that. But if they can focus our attention on what the issue is, and then we can resolve the issue, then we may be able to address. And so maybe we think catastrophe is about to happen, and then we discover, oh, I have a second bank account. I just received an inheritance. I actually have more money than I thought I did. And then suddenly my stress is relieved. Well, that's nice to know. So, we want to try and keep things and recognize that especially passing things are passing things. All of the temporal goods of this world will be given in superabundance, and we don't need to cling to things now, especially at the expense of or risking paralysis through fear.
And what a great note to think about, to embrace. And Father, I thank you so much for giving us these insights as we conclude today's episode. So something to think about, and like I said, to embrace as we move forward. So, we thank everyone for listening. If you have not done so already, please leave either a star or a written review on whatever platform you are on, because it does make a world of difference. So thank you all very much, and we'll be with you again next week.